Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian crusading patriots. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the Sunday evening podcast, and this is episode 23-33, the 33rd podcast of 2023. And the world couldn't seem any more unstable than it is right now. Several things I'm going to cover after the news and commentary. This update, and I want to on the Middle East, and I want to put some things into perspective. I've hit on before, it's worth reiterating, and I want to share some resources with you to put this into perspective, as we're seeing this even among the patriot ranks or Christian conservative ranks, this anti-Israel sentiment trying to creep through. And we need to have discernment to be able to divide, rightly divide, what it is that we're talking about and what we're up against. There's no question about it. Hamas and all the Islamic jihadists are satanic, evil, and vile, and they must be resisted and stopped. And Israel has to stop them for their own survival. They have the right to exist. The other side doesn't believe that they do. This is not about colonialism or Israel not allowing them to have land. They've tried multiple times and agreed to all of these proposals, and it's the Arabs that said no and went to war against Israel. So they definitely have the right to defend themselves. We stand with Israel, and we know there's creeps in Israel. There's a deep state in Israel, no different than America, right? We don't hate America and turn against Israel or against America and hope for America's demise just because there's creeps in the White House. America, the principle of America is alive and well in many of us, if not most of us. And there's a fight for America. Same thing with Israel. There are deep state globalist people that are working to destroy. They're godless people. That's not who we're talking about here. So we're going to hopefully set that straight. And in segment three, I'm going to talk about the militias some more. I have actually a ton of thoughts, more than I'll be able to get into tonight. But I at least want to address a couple things and get you pointed in the right direction. But first, let's get to the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the podcast to help take your preps to the next level with author Glenn Tate and his wife Shelby Gallagher and their prepper books and the podcast that they run over there to help take your preps to the next level. That's prepping2-0.com. All right, Ultra Mega Patriots, first in the news, coming from Amir Sarfati. He didn't quote his source, so I went and looked. I found numerous corroborating sources, The Sun out of the UK, Eurasia Times, multiple others. But six Chinese warships have operated in the Middle East during the past week. A lot of people they're not even aware of this. The 44th Naval Escort Task Force has been in regular activity in the area since May. Last week, the Chinese conducted joint exercises with the Omani Navy during a visit to Oman. And after the successful completion of the exercise in Oman, the Chinese Naval Task Force arrived at port in Kuwait as planned on the morning of October 18th, right when all of this stuff is blowing up. And the Chinese delegations are talking to all these Arab nations now. Things couldn't be more unstable. The Chinese naval will pay a 5-day goodwill visit to Kuwait. So we'll keep an eye on that. Here's another one to keep our eyes on. The Soros Foundation is closing offices around the world. George Soros, Soros Foundation, cutting more than 40% of its staff. This is coming at us from the Western Journal, one of several outlets to cover this. My first question is, what is he up to? What are they up to? The George Soros Open Society Foundation, what they call OSF, their Open Society Globalist Commie Godless Foundation, is going through its second restructuring in 3 years with the result that staff worldwide will be cut by nearly half. Let's see here. With the decision by the board in June to cut the staff by more than 40%, our staffing size and footprint by necessity needs to diminish, OSF Vice President of Programs Benefer Nauroji wrote in one of the emails seen by the outlet. They said, we no longer have the bandwidth to operate multiple small offices, and thus the decision to further reduce our locations. Bloomberg listed 6 OSF offices in Africa that would be left with no employees and would close by the end of the year, and noted that Inside Philanthropy had reported more than a dozen offices across Africa and Asia had been removed from a list on the organization's website. So I'm wondering, is this the case where they go in, they stir up strife, create chaos, destroy a nation, their economy, create all the societal tumult that they need to, and now they're out of there, leaving all the people that they paid to stir up all of this strife? Oh, mission accomplished. We're out of here. Oh, by the way, no more paycheck for you. You're all on your own. This is where they throw the brown shirts to the dogs after they use them. They use their useful idiots to create the chaos, and then they pull out. Interesting. I wonder when BLM and others are going to start getting, all of a sudden their support offices and their paychecks start vanishing after they've created all their chaos in America and elsewhere. Anyway, from Front Page Mag, 57% of Muslims believe Hamas atrocities are justified. America, we have a problem. The Singal poll is unique in that it polled Muslims in America as a separate group about the Hamas attack on Israel, during which the Islamic terrorists massacred civilians, raped and kidnapped women, and killed and kidnapped children. 28% of America Muslims strongly agree that Hamas was justified. 29% somewhat agree. 16% strongly disagree, while 25% somewhat disagree that it was justified. So remove 16% from that number, and you've got 84% at least somewhat agree, or somewhat disagree that it was necessary, all the way up to strongly agree. And we've got, look at the marches in the streets of America and Europe. London, 100,000 plus Muslims chanting in celebration of Hamas. Anti-Israel, pro-Hamas demonstrations. Even in America, unbelievable. Yeah, America, we have a problem. It's called We Are in Danger. The Epic Times reported, Coca-Cola quietly removes their Black Lives Matter support amid criticism from Ted Cruz. Coca-Cola appeared to remove a post about Black Lives Matter over the past weekend. It seemed like they deleted a paragraph on its website that supports Black Lives Matter, coming as Black Lives Matter drew controversy for backing Hamas. Coca-Cola, we're on to you anyway. We already know your anti-white racist commercials, your all of your other social engineering stuff that you support. We know what you're really about. And that's why none of us have supported any of your products. You're going to go down just like Bud Light. Crash and burn, as far as I'm concerned. So, there's some good news. Here's leadership by example. Sarah Huckabee, the Arkansas governor, this is great, Huckabee Sanders, I should say. There's a couple of victories here. So-called Republican governors, take a lesson. This is how it's done. Arkansas orders Chinese company to sell its 160 acres of agricultural land. This is coming from Yahoo News. A subsidiary of Chinese government-owned company, Syngenta Seeds, LLC, has been ordered by Arkansas officials to divest itself of 160 acres of agricultural land in Craighead County. This is Act 636. On last Tuesday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Attorney General Tim Griffin jointly announced the enactment of the Act 636. Prohibits certain foreign parties from acquiring an interest in Arkansas agricultural land. This needs to happen in every state in the United States. But wait, there's more. She did it again. Republican Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed an executive order banning woke, anti-women words in Arkansas government documents, particularly revolving around gender-based terminology. You know, stupid terms like pregnant person instead of pregnant woman. And Huckabee Sanders says, quote, "The science is clear and real. There are things only women can do, like perform the miracle of birth," Sanders wrote in the executive order, shared first with Fox News Digital, who cares. Government, she says, should reject language that ignores, undermines, and erases women. Government should celebrate gender distinctions between men and women, not erase them. Sanders' order comes as states, workplaces, and schools around the country are pushing the use of what they refer to as culturally conscious or inclusive language, initiatives that commonly attempt to remove femininity from terms used to describe women. Outstanding. Outstanding. Once again, leading by example. Take a lesson, Republicans out there. This should be in every, at least, red state, Republican state in the country. All right, let's take a break. Come back on the other side. We're going to talk about this Israeli-Hamas terror. Israel is at war. They're facing existential threats. A lot of moving parts are in place. There's a lot at stake. And we need to have the proper perspective on it. That and more when we come back.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right.
Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy.
And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night.
Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-33. Thank you guys for your support. If you want to support us and keep us going, which we are grateful, very grateful for, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Donate to RFR tab and find out the different ways that you can support us. Now, following along with this, there's information overload from multiple different sources. You're not sure who to trust. Sometimes it's conflicting or it's incomplete. This is the two places where I've gotten the most information, the most timely information, and good coverage is Amir Sarfati and his Telegram channel. And the other one is S2 Underground. They've been putting out multiple intelligence reports, kind of a summary, like an executive summary of everything throughout the week, honing in on a real objective, I think, I hope, an objective analysis of what's going on there from a military intelligence perspective. So those are the two sources. This one's coming from Amir. The U.S. Department of Defense, in response to recent escalation by Iran and its militaries across the Middle East, the U.S. will advance the aircraft carrier Eisenhower in the U.S. Central Command area of responsibility, along with a THAAD anti-ballistic missile battery and Patriot missile batteries. Something that I didn't mention in the news and commentary that came out on Liberty Daily. Israel military finds a USB key with cyanide dispersion device instructions on a Hamas operative who was killed in southern Israel on the October 7th attack. That was one of the things that was recovered. We have a lot of very sympathetic. We have sleeper cells and operatives in the United States. These guys all have the same information. They share it with each other. A lot of it comes from ISIS and others. So we have to assume, put that on your radar, cyanide dispersion devices that these guys have the plans for on these encrypted keys that was discovered on one of the operatives. But anyway, more escalation is taking place over there. And Amir picked up on this and put this out. He says, this is a very important piece of information. 2 days ago, Iran's top military commander had a phone call with Turkey, the Turkey defense minister, saying U.S. support for Israel's attack on Gaza and sending arms further complicates the situation. He called for serious action to prevent the continued attacks on civilians in Gaza. Right. Major General Mohammed Hossein Bagheri made the remarks in a phone conversation with the Turkish Defense Minister Yasar Güler. The two military officials discussed the escalation of tensions in the Gaza Strip. And earlier, Bagheri also spoke with the defense minister of Russia and Qatar. So this is an alignment of countries, specific countries listed specifically in prophecy that will come together and form an alliance and come against Israel. That's Ezekiel 38 and 39. So anyway, Amir even asked this, could it be that the October 7th massacre done by Hamas and its aftermath are turning into the catalyst to what might evolve into the mother of all wars? Gog from the land of Magog, the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And it could be. I've got a resource I'm going to share with you here on that in just a moment, but he finishes by stating, let me be very clear, the war hasn't started yet. Once the Israeli ground maneuver into Gaza will start and Hezbollah will fire thousands of precision strike missiles toward Israeli cities and critical infrastructure, then the war will start. See, right now, people are kind of holding their breath. It looked like, oh, they're going into Gaza, the whole world's going to explode, this could be it. But then we have short attention spans. 5 days goes by and basically Israel is just shelling and doing precision rocket strikes on key targets in Gaza. And everybody goes, oh, okay, I thought that could have turned into something huge. It's not over. It's just getting started. Once they do go in on a ground offensive, it's very probable that Iranian-backed Hezbollah, the Houthi rebels in Yemen, the West Bank, Golan Heights-backed militias and Hezbollah will strike simultaneously to force Israel to deal with minimum three-front war. And because once they go into Gaza, they are going to have to commit a tremendous amount of military resources. Iran and the other Arab nation, and the Arab nations and others that are anti-Israel forces, they know this. So this is hasn't even started yet. So don't put your guard down and look the other way. You might miss something. But there's a lot of division right now, and I'm seeing this in the ranks, in the Patriot ranks, among Christians even. And so I wanted to share something that someone posted. And it is, for the sake of argument and accuracy, it's worthwhile to distinguish between faithful Jews who are welcomed and included in the new covenant with us Gentiles, and the modern-day Israelis. There are millions of modern Israelis who do not actually descend from the 12 tribes and many more worldwide who claim Judaism but are not seriously devout. The people who fall into those categories are not the allies of Christians or the United States. They work towards their own ends to the detriment of all others, and they will not escape their own reckoning as prophecy is fulfilled. The problem is many of these people are highly placed and active in the Israeli government, and they hate anyone who isn't one of them. They are the reason why incidents like the USS Liberty happened, and they have not hesitated to murder other Americans or anybody else who've stood in their way over time. Their goal is the same as the American left: power for themselves and their interests. Those who criticize these sizable factions within Israel are right to do so. The fact is that Israel is effectively a socialist state, and the evidence of that is undeniable. So, the faithful, legitimate Hebrews living today really do have a lot in common with Christians in the United States and elsewhere, including the battle with the secular world. Their government hates them as much as ours hates us. There's nothing new under the sun. The problem with this is it's enough half-truths to convince a lot of people. It is true that they have a deep state, dark, evil force that are not Israeli. Some of them are not even ethnically Hebrew. And of course, a lot of this has come out with this family tree type of DNA stuff. So to say that millions of these people living in Israel aren't even Jews is not true. Many of them aren't, but millions of them are. And so don't use that argument without giving the other side to say millions of them are also Jews, ethnic Jews, and they've proven that through their, through their DNA. The 12 tribes of Israel are in Israel today. It was prophesied that would be restored as a nation, and in the tribulation, which is coming up, 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel, will be raised up in Israel. They're living there now. They're true Jews. God knows who they are. Okay, so don't be swayed by people who claim that they're Jews or they're not, or they used to be Jews, they changed their names, now they're the Rothschilds, and they're part of the Illuminati and this dark, evil globalist, and they're all Jews. It's, Jews behind communism, and yes, it's true, but you know what? There are a lot of Scots among the globalists too, and I'm Scottish by heritage, all right? But there are evil people out there with evil agendas. God's got a plan for them. They're only going to prevail for a while. Their days are numbered. So pray for Israel. Look, Benjamin Netanyahu is being dogged by those people that you're talking about. just like the deep state that we have here, dogging Trump or anybody else that's a patriot, we have them here. And I've pointed this out before. You can see it evidenced in Washington, D.C. You have a constitution and laws and debates and history with a very strong Christian evidence. And I say Judeo-Christian in the sense that you could see the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and the influence of scriptures from Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Exodus and others that are ingrained in part of what formed America too, the founding fathers. But you also look all over Washington, D.C., and the architecture is all, it's like Illuminati, paganistic symbology of one world government type. We've had two competing worldviews in America from the beginning. Satan's right there to disrupt anything that God might try to build or do. So it's no different in Israel. Israel fulfilled prophecy, God fulfilled prophecy by bringing Israel back into existence like he said he would. And guess who's there? Not skipping a beat, not going to miss a moment of it, Satan and his minions. And they're going to get in there with their little crooked little twisted fingers, and they're going to try to mess up what God's doing. But they're going to lose in the end. So don't get distracted by, oh, not all Jews that are there are real true Jews. There's most of these world government, dark secret society, they're all Jews and all this stuff. Yeah. And God's going to deal with them. All right. So don't remove your support for Israel. The true Jews that are there, God has a plan for them too. This is about redeeming them, his people. And he knows their DNA. He knows who's the real deal and who the fakers are, who the infiltrators are. So don't you get caught up in that, right? Pray for America. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Keep your eyes on God in his word. Have discernment. Be as gentle as a dove, as wise as a serpent, and have good discernment about what's going on around you in the world. All right. So speaking of division, boy, this is Black Lives Matter. The BLM organization has been promoting the distribution of Palestinian and anti-Israeli education materials in schools in the U.S. for the past week. Groups belonging to the organization expressed open support for the Palestinians following the Hamas attack on Israel. The loss of Palestinian and Israeli lives is a direct result of Israeli settler colonialism and dispossession, occupation, siege, apartheid, which doesn't exist, and attempted genocide of millions of Palestinians, the organization's website says, which we can expect that is what they're going to say. Now, for even conservatives or Christians who haven't really followed what's going on out there, they're getting influenced by this type of messaging too. And they're like, man, I'm not now. I mean, I don't want to believe who's going to believe BLM. But on the other hand, I don't know how to counter it. What's the real deal? Are they colonialized? Are they colonizing? Are the poor Palestinians just wanting peace and the Israelis are just attacking them because Israelis just don't want them there? Because it was the Palestinian, it used to be Palestine, right? The country of Palestine until Israel became a nation. Nope, not true. Palestine has never been its own independent sovereign nation. It's the name that was given by the Romans, Palestina, to try to separate the Jews from their heritage when the Romans were responding to a Jewish uprising, trying to fight their, kick the Romans out to take their country back. So anyway, I've got a video here, very well done. It's only a 5-minute video. I'm going to play the audio for you by Dennis Prager. He's the founder of Prager University. These guys are just amazing. Their material is awesome. They put it together in 5-minute digestible, easy bites. And it's called The Middle East Problem. It's by Prager U and it's titled The Middle East Problem. And it just lays it out there in 5 minutes. exactly what's going on over there. Now, I also recommend that you go to YouTube and go to PragerU's channel. They just reposted an excellent presentation, an exhaustive version of this, what I'm going to play for you. They posted it on October 9th, and it's called The Middle East Conflict Part 1 Marathon and Middle East Conflict Part 2 Marathon. Very well researched, very well presented, easy to watch, and you'll educate yourself on the facts of what's going on in the Middle East. I strongly recommend that you do that. So right now, take 5 minutes and listen to this, his presentation on this. I'll come back, and I've got another resource I want to share with you before we take a break.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's: no recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt, because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
All right. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And I really want to encourage you to go and watch the full-length versions of these and educate yourself on this. It's not something you got to watch every day. Just watch it once. Digest it. You've got it. You've got it in you. You've got it in your brain. You're educated, and you can counter some of these arguments. Okay. Next, I watched a sermon today earlier. It was outstanding. Now, Lady Liberty and I watch him fairly often, not a whole lot, but his stuff's always good. And so he's just kind of a regular staple in our spiritual diet. His name is Gary Hamrick. He's out of Virginia. He's got a fairly large church there. His teaching is always super solid. He did a presentation or sermon titled Israel, Hamas, and End Times. Ezekiel 38. Once again, that's Gary Hamrick. Hamrick. Gary Hamrick. It's titled Israel, Hamas, and End Times. Ezekiel 38. So you go back and rewind this and listen to that again so you can write it down. Should be super easy for you to find by typing in Gary Hamrick, Israel, Hamas, and boom, it'll take you there because it was just posted this week. So, anyway, go check that out. Listen to that. Super important, especially from a Christian perspective. And very well researched. Excellent points on history, the historical context, what brought us here, and a proper view of what we're dealing with right now in the world situation and where we could be going with this. Talks about prophecy. Check it out. And stick around. We'll be back with segment three. Going to talk about militias right after this.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, "When certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind."
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible?
What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
All right, welcome back, Patriots. Segment three here, and segment three for Radio Free Redoubt tonight. Going to talk about militias a little bit. There's no way I could dive into this as far and as deep as it needs to be talked about, but I just want to share some thoughts, give you some resources, start getting your mind working in a certain direction. And this kind of kicked off from an article from Alt Market about a month ago. I covered this and discussed it, and the article at Alt Market was titled Solutions Are Scary, Part 1, It's Time to Bring Back Citizen Militias. I couldn't agree more. And that was before this Hamas attack, and now we're seeing, stunningly seeing a mass rollout of support for Hamas in America. We know that there are operatives in America, and things are just getting pretty wild. And also, we are very vulnerable right now, committing so many resources. We're vulnerable on the other side from China, Taiwan, and these infiltrators coming into the United States, ready to attack. Advanced party saboteurs and other support personnel for a conflict with China. And I want to take you back to an audio file that I played earlier, a clip from Gordon Chang, who is an expert on the China threat. And he had this to say. Take a listen.
First of all, we're seeing desperate middle-class Chinese. These are generally not poor people because they can afford to pay $35,000 a head to the Mexican cartels to bring them in. But among them are packs of males of between 5 and 15 who are of military age, not coming with family groups, pretending not to speak English, and engaging in Chinese military rituals like drinking blood. A border section patrol chief said that some of them are known to have Chinese military affiliations. So clearly these are saboteurs coming into America to wage war on the United States on the first day that there is war in Asia.
That is just drinking blood? Is that what you just said?
Yes. One of the Chinese military rituals is to slaughter an animal, in this case, chickens. Michael Yan, a war correspondent, has seen this. And they basically, they drink the blood. And this was done in a hotel in Panama after they crossed the Darien Gap from Colombia. So we know that these are Chinese military coming into our country.
All right. So there's a little recap on that part of it. Secondly, if you guys remember, There are videos from this October 7th attack in southern Israel where armed citizens took out Hamas fighters. And these Hamas guys are wearing body cams. And it shows them going down, grunting and groaning. You hear the gunfire. They go down. They're rolling around in pain. And finally they succumb. And they just go silent with their camera pointed straight up at the trees or up at the sky, and they're dead. They're dead because citizens, armed citizens, military took some of them out too, but citizens took some of these people out as well. So we have a responsibility in this day and age to be ready to defend life in our communities when no help is coming or help can't get there in time. And we're not just talking about having, a 9mm pistol in your you know, holster or on the shelf. We're talking about some heavier duty stuff that just makes the left cringe. Why does anybody need an AR-15 with 30 rounds? Well, I don't know what when I might need that. That's why I have it available, because when you do need it, when you need it, there's no substitute. All right. So let's talk about this. And I've had some emails follow up from this militia discussion saying, how do we move forward with this? And, you know, I've tried to get involved with the militias. There's infighting, there's egos, there's, you know, it all kind of fell apart. And, you know, some people I'm talking to are interested in it, but kind of, you know, where do we go from here, and how do we avoid the pitfalls of things that we've seen in the past, and so on. These are valid points, and it's a very difficult thing to overcome. But really, what it comes down to, I've seen the militia movement, patriot movement, rise to incredible success, and I've seen it just bomb out and fail abysmally. There are a couple of factors there, but there's one very critical factor that we don't have, that the founding fathers had, and that's leadership. We lack leadership. And I mean at the national level down to the community level. I'm not talking about the leader of the guy who says, I will start a militia and I'll lead it because I'm a natural leader. And besides that, I kind of always felt like I was could be the next George Washington. And by golly, I have read some military manuals and I think I understand them, but my heart's really in it. So if I can get some people talked into it, I'll be their leader. Or, hey, I was a cook, or I was a radar repair technician in the Army. And so, you know, I could do that. That's not the type of leadership I'm talking about. I'm talking about first of all, you don't need leadership to defend yourself, okay? Or your community or your country. The laws of land warfare, if you are invaded, you have the right to engage the enemy on your own initiative. You don't need to be following orders. You don't have to be wearing a uniform. You don't have to have been signed in and taken an oath and gone through a background check or anything like that. If you're an American citizen, your country is invaded, and there's the enemy, you have the legal right, you have the moral right to take him out. All right, so on your own initiative. Now, you and your buddy, Hamas, comes into your village. You don't have to ask anybody's permission to take those guys out. You have the right to defend yourself. But if you're organized and trained, you will be light years ahead in effectiveness. So as much as you can train together now, the better. Now, historically, at the beginning of our country, let's talk about the Second Amendment. The founding fathers put the Second Amendment in there on purpose because it is necessary for the security of a free state. A well-regulated militia, which doesn't mean you have all these regulations by the state. That means a well-regulated, you regularly train. If you read the founding fathers' arguments and documents and writings, it's clear what they meant by well-regulated militia. In other words, you are regulated, you're self-disciplined, you train together regularly, and you have a chain of command, and you function together as a unit, you're well-regulated. You're not just a bunch of farmers with a gun hanging over the fireplace, and you all just agree that if some bad guy shows up, you all meet up and join together. You train regularly, and you have a rank structure and so on. That's a well-regulated militia. It's necessary. It's not just a good idea. It's not a great recommendation. It is necessary to the security of a free state. And of course, the founding fathers had in mind tyranny, but it started off with, you know, raids by Indians and other French marauders and what have you. They had to, it was necessary for them, for their survival, to have militias. Well, then during the leading up to the Revolutionary War, they had leadership. This is what we are lacking. They had committees of correspondence, and they handled the political arm of this. They advocated on behalf of the citizens. They established policy. They're the political arm. Many of them were voted in. They're elected officials, and they oversaw the militias. So the militias were accountable and responsible to someone, not just a bunch of guys out there. We don't take orders from anybody. These are my men. And you, or the other side of that is we are a constitutional militia. We train. We answer to nobody except the governor or the sheriff when they go to call us up. Well, they're looking for legitimacy by stating we're a constitutional militia, which means we will take orders and activate only by the orders of the governor or the sheriff, who will never call them up. No sheriff or, very, very few sheriffs. I don't know of any governor that will ever call up the citizen militia in this day and age. Not going to happen. But we're heading toward a place where we could have a collapse of any type of functioning governing system, especially if we descend into war and chaos with Chinese saboteurs, operatives, and Hamas or Hezbollah or anybody else going operational, especially if they do it at the same time. It'll be utterly chaos. Most of our elected officials, you won't find. They'll be running and hiding. So we need to cultivate those committees of correspondence again. Now, this has happened in recent history in the Patriot community, and it was very successful. The committees of correspondence consisted of elected officials, clergy, your Black Robe Regiment types, influential active members within your community, activists that are well known and respected and involved in the local politics and so on. They know all the who's who, but all of these people need to be like-minded. This is a good opportunity for you to approach that super conservative patriot county commissioner or state representative and your pastor and others and start building leadership, the leadership component. And while you are working on building the militia, you want to make it clear that you want to be under their command to respond as leaders, that you are accountable to them. They're the political component, you're the military component, and you're accountable to them. And this will help overcome a lot of the problems that we've seen in the militia movement, if you will, and start bridging some of these gaps. And this has been done successfully in the past up until January 6th and other put a lot of cold water on the Patriot community. But we need to wake up because we're in a different time now, and this is going to be a necessity if we're going to survive. All right, so now, if cultivating leadership, I'm going to expand on more of this later. If cultivating leadership isn't practical or possible in your community, you don't have a conservative patriot, anybody, not a pastor, not an elected, there's nobody that could begin forming a committee of a body of a civil body politic that's of the same mind, that understands what we're up against, that you could even work with on this level. Then guess what? Then you do what you can within the scope of your own operational area. If you can't form a militia, then get together with a couple, two or three buddies, and start practicing tactics on your own. Start standardizing your equipment, start covering, and you can use the militia standards as standards for you to start building toward as far as standardizing of weaponry, of communications, of uniforms and equipment and so on. And you just take the initiative and be in place ahead of the leadership that will rise up at some point in the future. They will start to form And then you can approach them and fall under that leadership, because they're going to have, you know, the influence in the community and situational awareness. They're connected. They have a lot of, they know a lot of people. They're networked, and they'll start to have a lot of information to start making decisions with. And if they need security at point A and point B, you are the security element waiting for the mission, waiting for the leadership to rise to that occasion. So be in place for your leadership so that you are already in place when leadership emerges. Start your own network or team now if you can. If you can, start or join a militia. And these oftentimes fell under the committees of safety. That's what the militias fell under. So they were accountable and responsible to the committees of correspondence. And that's what gives you the legitimacy, especially when, you know, our current era elected officials, I won't even call them leadership, are basically going to be paralyzed and ineffective. So where to go? Here's some resources for you to begin educating yourself on the militias. Jeff Stan started the Lightfoot Militia out of Idaho several years ago, and it went nationwide, and he did a great job with that. Now, I've got to follow up with these guys because it's been a while since I've talked to any of them, find out who's active and you know where everybody's at on the plane here. So, but you can go to lightfootmilitia.com and start reading through some of the materials. Now, some of the ones that are still active and have done a great job in the past, strongly recommend another one, a resource for you to go through all their material, and feel free to contact them and ask them questions. You know, if you don't have one in your area, how you can start one. And like I said, I'm going to be remaking contact with several of my contacts and add those as resources for you guys where you might be able to join and find out, pin down exactly who's, you know, still active and to what level. But the other one is out of Arizona. That's the 27th Lightfoot. And their website is www.27lightfoot.com. That's the 27th Lightfoot. That's 27lightfoot.com. And another one, great one. These guys have done great stuff in the past. I haven't followed up with them for a while, but the Tennessee Lightfoot. And their website is TennesseeLightfoot.wordpress.com. That's TennesseeLightfoot.wordpress.com. And one resource they have that I strongly recommend that you take a look at, you can download it in PDF from their website, and it's the Tennessee Lightfoot Basic Manual. It has their standards in it. And it is a great primer for you to start your own militia if you don't have one in the area. And we'll start putting together resources so you're not out there just trying to do it alone, but at least for you to start putting something together to have a regulated, an actual trained to standard group in your area, a militia that you can start training up to. And like I said, there's a lot that I could expand on that. I have much to say about it. There's precautionary things that I would like to address. But anyway, that will at least get you started and hopefully some things to think about for the day and age that we're living in. And those resources will help get something in your hand where you can start making a decision about how you want to start training your team, your group, joining a militia, or forming one, and how to do that. So, all right, we'll take a break and come back. Got Lady Liberty going to be joining me in the studio here in just a minute. And we've got some more thoughts about what's going on in the world and things to think about. So stick around, and we'll be back right after this. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars.
communists have plans for you. As soon as they're in power, they will arrest many of you, seize your property. If you're important enough, they will shoot you, along with all community leaders.
The president thinks that there is an extremist threat to our democracy. The president has been clear, as he can be, on that particular piece when we talk about a democracy, when we talk about our freedoms. The way that he sees is the MAGA Republicans are the most energized part of the Republican Party.
The rest of you will be regimented, and some of you forced into slave labor. This is the planned, plotted, tested program they are determined to execute in this country.
This is an extreme threat to our democracy, to our freedom, to our rights. They just don't respect the rule of law.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Welcome back, Patriots, to the fourth and final segment here of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-33. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening to you, and good evening, everyone out there. We are, you've covered everything so well this evening, especially with the Prager University quip. That was great. And so to add a little bit more to what's going on with what we're seeing happening with out of control Hamas, just lying through their teeth every single chance they get. There's one person in particular that was alarming to me, and that was a man that Marjorie Taylor Greene caught on camera while she was doing a private video update for all of her constituents. And this man, who Rashida Tlaib led in with her pro-Hamas insurrection, his name was Tahir Hirzallah. And so I have a clip here that of the whole event, and I just wanted to share it with you because this was alarming to me, just like it was alarming to Marjorie Taylor Greene. You could see the surprise on her face, the absolute aggression from this man, Tahir Hirzallah, and the fact that he burst right into a private video recording and started threatening her very aggressively, and it caught her by surprise so much that she moved away from him quickly and was trying to get somebody to step in between him and her because he was being so aggressive. And so here we have probably the most famous congresswoman in America being threatened in this way.
Yeah.
And this is Hamas. These are the people that are, you know, these people cut heads off babies already.
Well, and to also add, maybe you were going to mention this, this audio montage that we have shows this moment that this happened, but it also has the same guy giving presentations on video asking, hey, is it wrong if we use violence?
Right, exactly. And of course, we all know that Muslims have absolutely no problem with going totally off the wall violent to the point of psychotic brutality, to the point of who cares about being tried for war crimes? Let's just go in and butcher a bunch of civilians.
Yeah.
This is their mentality. And this is how, of course, it's their mentality. This is how these people are raised from the time they're 5 years old on up. They're taught to hate the Jews. They're taught to think that killing the Jews and also the Christians is what their life's calling is. Mm-hmm. And so, as we've mentioned before, and as you all know, Muslims and Islam refers to the Jews as the little Satan and the American Christians as the big Satan, and they plan to take us all out. The fact that there's now 74,000 fresh new ones that they have caught coming in across the border, yes, just in the last month, 76,000 of these extremely dangerous people. And, you know, and so we'll just play this clip for you because, like I said, I was alarmed at this man going straight up to our most famous congresswoman.
These people are not for peace. You can tell it's the same kind of movement that started with BLM, and it'll be the same kind of violent movement later on. They don't want peace. So
what if, as Muslims, we wanted to establish an Islamic state? Is that wrong?
Let Gaza live! Let Gaza live! Let Gaza live! Murderers go home! Let Gaza live! And the genocide!
What if, as Muslims, we wanted to use violent means to resist occupation? Is that wrong?
Is that wrong? Yeah, let's just start right there. Of course it's wrong. Duh.
Well,
there's laws that call anything that they want to do here murder, not to mention, terrorism to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah. But that's based on the premise of being occupied. They're not occupied. They have their own place.
Well, what I'm saying is while they're over here.
Well, I know, but in response to his statement about being occupied, you know, for justifying their violence against Israeli civilians, that's not resistance.
Right.
That's just murder. That's terrorism.
Yep.
And they're not even being occupied.
Right. You can't be the occupiers and accuse the people that have been there for 5,000 years occupiers. And, yeah, you know, it's what's interesting, of course, is that you and I have been watching quite a bit of Israeli archaeology over the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And the last year and a half has, boy, unearthed amazing finds, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 feet down under Jerusalem, yep, where they're finding coins from King David.
Yep.
They're finding all of David's actual house, you know, the house of David. They're finding all of these things that basically verify every last thing the Bible has said about biblical history with the Jews being, yep, there. And so for them to even attempt at claiming that Jews are the occupiers, that is the biggest joke of all.
Well, yeah, when you start learning the real history, and of course, I also mentioned those other PragerU videos, there's so much information out there. You know, it doesn't take long to educate yourself to find out what this fake news narrative and BLM, Black Lives Matter, green, red, Axis, communist agenda, and all their talking points are pure BS.
That's right. And, you know, just I think the fact that this man got so close to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene that it was frightening. And,
yeah,
and, you know, like I said, she was trying to get somebody to step in between him and her, because this man is pointing, like, you know, trying to slam his finger almost directly into her face, pointing over and over and over. And finally, security shows up and kind of steps in the way. These people are so dangerous. The fact that they could get that close to a congressman,
right,
is frightening. And, you know, so I just wanted to point that out, because these are the people that are most likely going to be going after our executive branches,
yeah,
and trying to take over with their Sharia law, with everything that they think is okay, you know, especially according to the whole Hamas cheerleader section in Congress that needs to be charged with the illegal, totally illegal, disregard for Article 4, Section 4,
right,
that guarantees Americans a Republican form of government. And so if we are guaranteed a Republican form of government and we have people that are trying to push Sharia law, they're supporting and pushing the communist agenda, that makes that activity a violation of Article 4, Section 4. And they can be removed, should be removed and prosecuted
right.
for that and do jail time.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Well, this is just the beginning of this, this new era that we're in. It's going to be quite a thing to behold and to watch unfold. And
that's right.
Find out what the future is for America and the West, which is clearly under attack. And a lot of that's going to be determined by how many other outside players get involved with this Israeli conflict.
Right. And we all know that, you know, like I'm describing, these people are probably, you know, short of the Chinese, the most dangerous, the most brutal people on the planet so far. And of course, China wants to outdo them by 100 times.
Right.
So I don't know how, boy, I don't even know how that's possible. But especially with them beheading babies. And so I just wanted to read something out of Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, that is particularly interesting. You know, in the end times, it describes that Christians will have to be beheaded in order to stay loyal and faithful to Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And so let me read Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, that reads under the title, "The saints reign with Christ 1,000 years. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Yep.
And so clearly these people that are now in our country and dangerous, dangerous, dangerous beyond all get out. This is the fulfilling, I'm guessing, of the last 7 years. How else are all the Christians going to get their heads cut off unless these people are here?
Well, yeah, they'll do it. And probably all the other communists will follow suit and, you know, use the same techniques in support of them. Yeah, we're definitely headed in that direction, and it's quite a time to be alive.
Well, it's quite a time to be raptured, I'll tell you what.
Right.
I, for one, have no desire to have my head cut off.
Well,
so,
you know,
I don't know about anybody else out there.
They got to get through a lot of ammo to get to that point.
That's for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they have to go through a lot of incoming.
No kidding.
To get to that point.
That's right.
Yeah, it won't be just handed to them.
Yeah, especially since these people are emboldened and brazen after attacking unarmed civilian families.
Oh, you know.
They are acting tough and celebratory because they were able to kill unarmed families.
Right.
That is just, that's not brave or tough. That is cowardice of the highest order, and they should be condemned and shamed worldwide for that atrocity.
Yeah, not celebrated with parades and marches.
No, and not have people turn around and be mad at the Jews for defending themselves from those attacks.
Right.
The Jews did not start it. These people, these Hamas, these Muslim terrorists did.
They always do.
Yep.
Yep. And so anyway, well, man, stay locked and loaded and check your gear and be...
And always go armed everywhere you go today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's a new era. So, or the next level of this strange era.
That's for sure.
Well, thank you, Lady Liberty, for those updates and for that soundbite, too. That is alarming.
That's important and alarming.
Yep. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you be safe out there. Be blessed and have good situational awareness wherever you go. And join us each weekday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute. Otherwise, we'll talk to you right here next Sunday for Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.